that that was clearly ridiculous, and that the voice must be coming instead from an intercom or comlink. He finished his turn to discover that the first thought had indeed been correct. She was sitting in a high-backed chair, her arms draped loosely over the arms in a posture that seemed strangely familiar. A slender woman, about Luke's own age, with brilliant red-gold hair and equally brilliant green eyes. Her legs were casually crossed. A compact but wicked-looking blaster lay on her lap. A genuine living human being. And yet, impossibly, he couldn't sense her. The confusion must have shown in his face.
"That's right," she said, favoring him with a smile.
Not a friendly or even a polite smile, but one that seemed to be made up of equal parts bitterness and malicious amusement.
"Welcome back to the world of mere mortals."
And with a surge of adrenaline, Luke realized that the strange mental veiling wasn't limited to just her. He couldn't sense anything. Not people, not droids, not even the forest beyond his window. It was like suddenly going blind.
"Don't like it, do you?"
the woman mocked.
"It's not easy to suddenly lose everything that once made you special, is it?"
Slowly, carefully, Luke eased his legs over the side of the bed and sat up, giving his body plenty of time to get used to moving again. The woman watched him, her right hand dropping to her lap to rest on top of the blaster.
"If the purpose of all this activity is to impress me with your remarkable powers of recuperation," she offered, "you don't need to bother."
"Nothing so devious," Luke advised, breathing hard and trying not to wheeze.
"The purpose of all this activity is to get me back on my feet."
He looked her hard in the eye, wondering if she would flinch away from his gaze. She didn't even twitch.
"Don't tell me. Let me guess. You're Mara Jade." "That doesn't impress me either," she said coldly. "Card already told me he'd mentioned my name to you."
Luke nodded.
"He also told me that you were the one who found my X-Wing." "Thank you."
Her eyes flashed.
"Save your gratitude," she bit out. "As far as I'm concerned, the only question left is whether we turn you over to the Imperials or kill you ourselves."
Abruptly she stood up, the blaster ready in her hand.
"On your feet. Card wants to see you."
Carefully, Luke stood up. And as he did so, he noticed for the first time that Mara had attached his lightsaber to her own belt.
Was she then a Jedi herself?
Powerful enough perhaps to smother Luke's abilities?
"I can't say that either of those options sounds appealing," he commented. "There's one other one."
She took a half step forward, moving close enough that he could have reached out and touched her. Lifting the blaster, she pointed it directly at his face.
"You try to escape, and I kill you right here and now."
For a long moment, they stood there frozen. The bitter hatred was blazing again in those eyes. But even as Luke gazed back at her, he saw something else along with the anger. Something that looked like a deep and lingering pain. He stood quietly, not moving, and almost reluctantly, she lowered the weapon.
"Move. Card's waiting."
Luke's room was at the end of a long hallway, with identical doors spaced at regular intervals along its length. A barracks of sorts, he decided, as they left it and started across a grassy clearing toward a large, high-roofed building. Several other structures clustered around the latter, including another barracks building, a handful that looked like storehouses, and one that was clearly a servicing hangar. Grouped around the hangar on both sides were over a dozen starships, including at least two bulk cruisers, like the Wildcard, and several smaller craft, some of them hidden a ways back into the forest that pressed closely in on the compound from all sides. Tucked away behind one of the bulk cruisers, he could just see the nose of his X-Wing. For a moment, he considered asking Mara what had happened to R2. Decided he'd do better to save the question for Card. They reached the large central building, and Mara reached past Luke to slap the sensor plate beside the door.
"He's in the great room,"
Mara said, as the panel slid open in response.
"Straight ahead."
They walked down a long hallway, passing a pair of what seemed to be medium-sized dining and recreation rooms. Ahead, a large door at the end of the hallway slid open at their approach. Mara ushered him inside and into a scene straight out of ancient legend. For a moment, Luke just stood in the doorway, staring. The room was large and spacious, its high ceiling translucent and crisscrossed by a webwork of carved rafters. The walls were composed of a dark brown wood, much of it elaborately open mesh carved, with a deep blue light glowing through the interstices. Other luxuries were scattered sparingly about, a small sculpture here, an unrecognizable alien artifact there. Chairs, couches, and large cushions were arranged in well-separated conversation circles, giving a distinctly relaxed, almost informal air to the place. But all that was secondary, taken in peripherally, or at a later time entirely. For that first astonishing moment, Luke's full attention was fixed solidly on the tree growing through the center of the room. Not a small tree, either, like the delicate saplings that lined one of the hallways in the Imperial Palace. This one was huge, a meter in diameter at the base, extending from a section of plain dirt floor through the translucent ceiling and far beyond. Thick limbs, starting perhaps 2 meters from the ground, stretched their way across the room, some of them nearly touching the walls, almost like arms reaching out to encompass everything in sight. "Ah, Skywalker," a voice called from in front of him. With an effort, Luke shifted his gaze downward to find Card sitting comfortably in a chair at the base of the tree. On either side, 2 long-legged quadrupeds crouched, their vaguely dog-like muzzles pointing stiffly in Luke's direction. "Come and join me." Swallowing, Luke started toward him. There were stories he remembered from his childhood about fortresses with trees growing up through them. Frightening stories, some of them full of danger and helplessness and fear. And in every one of those stories, such fortresses were the home of evil. "Welcome back to the land of the living," Card said as Luke approached. He picked up a silvery pitcher from the low table at his side, poured a reddish liquid into a pair of cups. "I must apologize for having kept you asleep all this time, but I'm sure you appreciate the special problems involved in making sure a Jedi stays where you've put him." "Of course," Luke said, his attention on the 2 animals beside Card's chair. They were still staring at him with an uncomfortable intensity. "Though if you'd just asked nicely," he added, "you might have found me quite willing to cooperate." A flicker of a smile touched Card's lips. "Perhaps. Perhaps not." He gestured to the chair across from him. "Please, sit down." Luke started forward, but as he did so, one of the animals rose up slightly on his haunches, making a strange sort of choked purr.
"Easy, Sturm," Card admonished, looking down at the animal. "This man is our guest."
The creature ignored him, its full attention clearly on Luke.
"I don't think it believes you," Luke suggested carefully.
Even as he spoke, the second animal made the same sort of sound as the first had.
"Perhaps not."
Card had a light grip on each of the animal's collars now, and was glancing around the room.
"Chin!"
he called toward the 3 men lounging in one of the conversation circles.
"Come and take them out, will you?"
"Sure."
A middle-aged man with a Frothley-style haircut got up and trotted over.
"Come on, fellows,"
he grunted, taking over Card's grip on the collars and leading the animals away.
"What, hey, we go for a walk, he?"
"My apologies, Skywalker,"
Card said, frowning slightly as he watched the others go.
"They're usually better behaved than that with guests. Now, please, sit down."
Luke did so, accepting the cup Card offered him. Mara stepped past him and took up position next to her chief. Her blaster, Luke noted, was now in a wrist holster on her left forearm, nearly as accessible as it would have been in her hand.
"It's just a mild stimulant," Card said, nodding to the cup in Luke's hand. "Something to help you wake up."
He took a drink from his own cup and set it back down on the low table. Luke took a sip. It tasted all right. And anyway, if Card had wanted to drug him, There was hardly any need to stoop to such a childish subterfuge.
Would you mind telling me where my droid is?
Oh, he's perfectly all right, Card assured him. I have him in one of my equipment sheds for safekeeping.
I'd like to see him, if I may.
I'm sure that can be arranged, but later.
Card leaned back in his seat, his forehead furrowing slightly.
Perhaps after we've figured out just exactly what we're going to do with you.
Luke glanced up at Mara. Your associate mentioned the possibilities. I'd hoped I could add another to the list.
That we send you back home? Card suggested.
With due compensation, of course, Luke assured him. Say, double whatever the Empire would offer?
You're very generous with other people's money, Card said dryly. The problem, unfortunately, doesn't arise from money, but from politics. Our operations, you see, extend rather deeply into both Imperial and Republic space. If the Empire discovered we'd released you back to the Republic, they would be highly displeased with us.
And vice versa if you turned me over to the Empire, Luke pointed out.
True, Card said. Except that given the damage to your X-Wing subspace radio, the Republic presumably has no idea what happened to you. The Empire, unfortunately, does.
And it's not what they would offer, Mara put in. It's what they have offered. 30,000.
Luke pursed his lips.
I had no idea I was so valuable, he said.
You could be the difference between solvency and failure for any number of marginal operators, Card said bluntly. There are probably dozens of ships out there right now, ignoring schedules and prior commitments to hunt for you.
He smiled tightly.
Operators who haven't even given a moment of consideration to how they would hold on to a Jedi even if they caught one.
Your method seems to work pretty well, Luke told him. I don't suppose you'd be willing to tell me how you've managed it.
Card smiled again. Secrets of that magnitude are worth a great deal of money. Have you any secrets of equal value to trade?
Probably not, Luke said evenly. But again, I'm sure the New Republic would be willing to pay market value.
Card sipped from his drink, eyeing Luke thoughtfully over the rim of the cup. I'll make you a deal, he said, putting the cup back on the table beside him. You tell me why the Empire is suddenly so interested in you, and I'll tell you why your Jedi powers aren't working.
Why don't you ask the Imperials directly?
Card smiled. Thank you, but no. I just as soon not have them start wondering at my sudden interest, particularly after we pleaded prior commitments when the request came in for us to help hunt you down.
Luke frowned at him. You weren't hunting for me?
No, we weren't.
Card's lip twisted.
One of those little ironies that make life so interesting. We were simply returning from a cargo pickup when Mara dropped us out of hyperspace on the spur of the moment to do a nav reading.
Luke studied Mara's stony expression. How fortunate for you, he said.
Perhaps, Card said. The net result, though, was to put us in the middle of the exact situation that I'd hoped to avoid.
Luke held his hands out, palms upward. Then let me go, and pretend none of this happened. I give you my word I'll keep your part in it quiet.
The Empire would find out anyway.
Card shook his head.
Their new commander is extremely good at piecing bits of information together. No. I think your best hope right now is for us to find a compromise. Some way we can let you go while still giving the Imperials what they want.
He cocked his head slightly.
Which leads us back to my original question.
And from there back to my original answer, Luke said. I really don't know what the Empire wants with me.
He hesitated. But Leia should be well beyond Imperial reach by now.
I can tell you, though, that it's not just me. There have been two attempts on my sister Leia, too.
Killing attempts?
Luke thought about it. I don't think so. The one I was present for felt more like a kidnapping.
Interesting,
Card murmured, his eyes defocusing slightly.
Leia Organa Solo, who is in training to be a Jedi like her brother. That could explain certain recent Imperial actions. Luke waited, but after a moment it became clear that Card wasn't going to elaborate.
You spoke of a compromise?
He reminded the other. Card seemed to pull his thoughts back to the room.
Yes, I did, he said. It's occurred to me that your privileged position in the New Republic might be what the Empire was interested in, that they wanted information on the inner workings of the Provisional Council. In such a case, we might have been able to work out a deal whereby you went free while your R2 droid went to the Imperials for debriefing.
Luke felt his stomach tighten.
It wouldn't do them any good,
he said as casually as he could manage. The thought of R2 being sold into Imperial slavery.
R2 has never been to any of the council meetings.
But he does have a great deal of knowledge of you personally,
Card pointed out,
as well as of your sister, her husband, and various other highly placed members of the New Republic.
He shrugged.
It's a moot question now, of course. The fact that the focus is exclusively on the New Republic's Jedi and potential Jedi means they're not simply after information.
Where did these two attacks take place?
The first was on Bimisari, the second on Bipfash.
Card nodded.
We've got a contact on Bipfash. Perhaps we can get him to do some backtracking on the Imperials. Until then, I'm afraid you'll have to remain here as our guest.
It sounded like a dismissal.
Let me just point out one other thing before I go, Luke said. No matter what happens to me, or what happens to Leia for that matter, the Empire is still doomed. There are more planets in the New Republic now than there are under Imperial rule, and that number increases daily. We will win eventually, if only by sheer weight of numbers.
I understand that was the Emperor's own argument when discussing your rebellion,
Card countered dryly.
Still, that is the crux of the dilemma, isn't it? Or the Empire will wreak swift retribution on me if I don't give you over to them. The New Republic looks more likely to win out in the long run.
Only if he and his sister are there to hold Mon Mothma's hand, Mara put in contemptuously. If they aren't...
If they aren't, the final time frame is somewhat less clear, Card agreed. At any rate, I thank you for your time, Skywalker. I hope we can come to a decision without too much of a delay.
Don't hurry on my account, Luke told him. This seems a pleasant enough world to spend a few days on.
Don't believe it for a moment, Card warned. My two pet Vornskers have a large number of relatives out in the forest. Relatives who haven't had the benefits of modern domestication.
I understand, Luke said. On the other hand, if he could get out of Card's encampment and clear of whatever this strange interference was they were using on him, he...
And don't count on your Jedi skills to protect you either,
Card added, almost lazily.
You'll be just as helpless in the forest. Probably more so.
He looked up at the tree towering above him.
There are, after all, considerably more Islamari out there than there are here.
Islamari?
Luke followed his gesture, and for the first time, noticed the slender gray-brown creature hanging onto the tree limb directly over Card's head.
What is it?
The reason you're staying where we put you, Card said. They seem to have the unusual ability to push back the Force, to create bubbles, so to speak, where the Force simply doesn't exist.
I've never heard of them, Luke said,
wondering if there was any truth at all to the story. Certainly neither Yoda nor Ben had ever mentioned the possibility of such a thing.
Not very many have, Card agreed. And in the past, most of those who did had a vested interest in keeping it that way. The Jedi of the Old Republic avoided the planet, for obvious reasons, which was why a fair number of smuggling groups back then had their bases here. After the Emperor destroyed the Jedi, most of the groups pulled up roots and left, preferring to be closer to their potential markets. Now that the Jedi are rising again,
he nodded gravely to Luke,
perhaps some of them will return. Though I dare say the general populace would probably not appreciate that.
Luke glanced around the tree. Now that he knew what to look for, he could see several other Islamari wrapped around and across various of the limbs and branches.
What makes you think it's the Islamari and not something else that's responsible for this bubbling in the Force?
Partly local legend, Card said. Mainly the fact that you're standing here talking with me. How else could a man with a stun weapon and an extremely nervous mind have walked right up behind a Jedi without being noticed?
Luke looked at him sharply, the last piece falling into place.
You had Islamari aboard the wild card.
Correct, Card said. Purely by chance, actually. Well, he looked up at Mara. Perhaps not entirely by chance.
Luke glanced again at the Islamari above Card's head.
How far does this bubbling extend?
Actually, I'm not sure anyone knows, Card conceded. Legend says that individual Islamari have bubbles from 1 to 10 meters in radius, but that groups of them together have considerably larger ones. Some sort of reinforcement, I gather. Perhaps you'll do us the courtesy of participating in a few experiments regarding them before you leave.
Perhaps, Luke said. Though that probably depends on which direction I'm headed at the time.
It probably will, Card agreed. Well, I imagine you'd like to get cleaned up. You've been living in that flight suit for several days now. Did you bring any change of clothing with you?
There's a small case in the cargo compartment of my X-Wing, Luke told him. Thank you for bringing it along, incidentally.
I try never to waste anything that may someday prove useful, Card said. I'll have your things sent over as soon as my associates have determined that there are no hidden weapons or other equipment among them.
He smiled slightly.
I doubt that a Jedi would bother with such things, but I believe in being thorough. Good evening, Skywalker.
Mara had her tiny blaster in hand again.
Let's go,
she said, gesturing with the weapon. Luke stood up.
Let me offer you one other option, he said to Card. If you decide you'd rather pretend none of this ever happened, you could just return R2 and me to where you found us. I'd be willing to take my chances with the other searchers.
Including the Imperials? Card asked.
Including the Imperials, Luke nodded.
A small smile touched Card's lips.
You might be surprised, but I'll keep the option in mind.
The sun had disappeared behind the trees, and the sky was noticeably darker as Mara escorted him back across the compound.
Did I miss dinner?
He asked as they walked down the corridor toward his room.
Something can be brought to you, Mara said, her voice little more than a thinly veiled snarl. Thank you.
Luke took a careful breath.
I don't know why you dislike me so much.
Shut up! She cut him off.
Just shut up!
Grimacing, Luke did so. They reached his room and she nudged him inside.
We don't have any lock for the window, she said. But there's an alarm on it. You try going out, and it'll be a toss-up as to whether the Vornskers get to you before I do.
She smiled mock sweetly.
But don't take my word for it. Try it and find out.
Luke looked at the window, then back at Mara.
I'll pass, thanks.
Without another word, she left the room, closing the door behind her. There was the click of an electronic lock being engaged, and then silence. He went to the window, peered out. There were lights showing in some of the other barracks windows, though he hadn't noticed any other lights in his own building. Which made sense, he supposed. Whether Card decided to turn him over to the Empire or release him back to the New Republic, there was no point in more of his associates knowing about it than absolutely necessary. All the more so if Card decided to take Mara's advice and just kill him. He turned away from the window and went back to his bed, fighting back the fear trying to rise inside him. Never since facing the Emperor had he felt so helpless. Or, for that matter, actually been so helpless. He took a deep breath.
For the Jedi, there is no emotion. There is peace.
Somehow, he knew, there had to be a way out of this prison. All he had to do was to stay alive long enough to find it.
20.
No, I assure you, everything is fine.
3PO said in Leia's voice, looking just about as unhappy beneath his headset as a droid could possibly look.
Han and I decided that as long as we were out this way, we might as well take a look around the Abrigado system.
I understand, Your Highness.
Winter's voice came back over the Falcon speaker. To Han, she sounded tired. Tired and more than a little tense.
May I recommend, though, that you don't stay away too much longer?
3PO looked helplessly at Han.
We'll be back soon,
Han muttered into his comlink.
We'll be back soon,
3PO echoed into the Falcon's mic.
I just want to check out... The Gatos.
The Gatos.
Manufacturing infrastructure.
Yes, Your Highness,
Winter said.
I'll pass that information on to the Council. I'm sure they'll be pleased to hear it.
She paused, just noticeably.
I wonder if I might be permitted to speak with Captain Solo for a moment?
Across the cockpit, Lando grimaced. She knows, he mouthed silently.
No kidding,
Han mouthed back. He caught 3PO's eye and nodded.
Of course,
the droid said, sagging with obvious relief.
Han?
Han switched his comlink over.
I'm here, Winter. What's up?
I wanted to know if you had any idea yet when you and Princess Leia would be returning,
she said.
Admiral Akbar, particularly, has been asking about you.
Han frowned at the comlink. Akbar probably hadn't spoken two words to him outside of official business since he'd resigned his general's commission a few months back.
You'll have to thank the Admiral for his interest,
he told Winter, picking his words carefully.
I trust he's doing all right himself?
About as usual,
Winter said.
He's having some problems with his family, though, now that school is in full swing.
A little squabbling among the children?
Han suggested.
Bedtime arguments, mainly. Problems with the little one over who's going to stay up and read. That sort of thing. You understand.
Yeah, Han said. I know the kids pretty well. How about the neighbors? You still having trouble with them?
There was a brief pause.
I'm not exactly sure,
she said.
He hasn't mentioned anything about them to me. I can ask if you'd like.
It's no big deal, Han said. As long as the family's doing okay. That's the important thing.
I agree. At any rate, I think he mainly just wanted to be remembered to you.
Thanks for passing on the message.
He threw Lando a look.
Go ahead and tell him that we won't be out here too much longer. We'll go to Abrigado and maybe look in on a couple of others and then head back.
All right,
Winter said.
Anything else?
No. Yes, Han corrected himself. What's the latest on the Bip Fasci recovery program?
Those three systems the Imperials hit?
Right.
And where he and Leia had had their second brush with those gray-skinned alien kidnappers. But there was no point in dwelling on that.
Let me call up the proper file,
Winter said.
It's coming along reasonably well. There were some problems with supply shipments, but the material seems to be moving well enough now.
Han frowned at the speaker.
What did Akbar do? Dig up some mothballed container ships from somewhere?
Actually, he made his own.
Winter came back dryly.
He's taken some capital ships. Star cruisers and attack frigates mostly. Cut the crews back to skeleton size and put in extra droids and turn them into cargo ships.
Han grimaced.
I hope he's got some good escorts along with him. Empty star cruisers would make great target practice for the Imperials.
I'm sure he's thought of that,
Winter assured him.
And the orbit dock and shipyards at Sluis Van are very well defended.
I'm not sure anything's really well defended these days,
Han returned sourly.
Not with the Imperials running loose like they are. Anyway, gotta go. Talk to you later.
Enjoy your trip, Your Highness. Goodbye.
Lando snapped his fingers at 3PO.
Goodbye, Winter,
the droid said. Han made a slashing motion across his throat, and Lando shut off the transmitter.
If those star cruisers had been built with proper slave circuits, they wouldn't have to load them with droids to make container ships out of them,
he pointed out innocently.
Yeah,
Han nodded. his mind just barely registering Lando's words.
Come on. We've got to cut this short and get back.
He climbed out of the cockpit seat and checked his blaster.
Something's about to burn through on Coruscant.
You mean all that stuff about Akbar's family?
Lando asked, standing up.
Right,
Han said, heading back toward the Falcon's hatchway.
If I'm reading Winter right, it sounds like Phalia has started a major